Welcome to Between the Lines, where we explore the rich tapestry of the Bible's teachings and revelations with your hosts, David and Jonathan. Thanks for joining us on WVFF 97.7 FM as we seek to understand the deeper meanings behind the verses and discover the love of Christ and hope of his salvation. Without further ado, our hosts, David and Jonathan.
Right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, and we have just completed Genesis, getting ready to start Exodus, and just a little recap. I mean, Genesis is the most amazing book of the Bible because it takes us from creation all the way to the 12 tribes of Israel, and Genesis ends with Abraham's entire clan moving with under the tutelage of Israel, moving to Egypt. And we all know the story of Joseph, how his brothers sold him into slavery, but God actually caused them to do that so that he could go to Israel, to Egypt, and prepare a place to preserve the seed of Israel. So we end Genesis with the death of Israel. And Jacob, God named Israel, and he dies, and he makes Joseph to promise that his bones would one day be taken back and buried in the cave that Abraham had purchased for the burial of his dead out of his sight. And Joseph did so, and they embalmed Israel. And we're going to see later at the end of Exodus that the promise is carried out. So Exodus chapter 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already because his brothers had done their dastardly deed. And there's a whole lot of fun things if you want to catch some of the installments in Genesis about how Joseph has a lot of fun with his brothers when they finally come and bow the knee to him as they swore they never would from his dreams. And Joseph died, and all his brethren and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. This is the land of Egypt was filled with them. Now let's just talk a little bit about Joseph and the Pharaoh that he served. By reading Between the Lines and other books, we have found out that the Pharaoh that Joseph was under was a very young child when Joseph came there, because Joseph tells his brethren that he has become a father to Pharaoh. And so we understand that Pharaoh was a young child, and we also understood from reading Between the Lines that Egypt was a very poor nation when Joseph came there. And because of the 7 years famine, and the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, which Pharaoh, who looked to Joseph for guidance, he placed Joseph over the entire country to manage the economy during that times of plenty and times of famine that Pharaoh had seen in his dreams. And Joseph, out of that, made Pharaoh a very rich man and Egypt a very wealthy nation. And so we have the children of Israel living in the land of Goshen, and it says here they are very fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now this is many years later already. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel no more and mightier than we. And if you do some other reading in some other books, it is believed that Egypt was invaded and an Assyrian took the throne. That would be this Pharaoh. It says he knew not Joseph. He knew not the love between Joseph and the former Pharaoh. And now this is even many pharaohs later, because we're talking several hundred years now. So things have happened. The Israelites have grown in multitudes. We're talking millions. And we have a new pharaoh, most likely from an invasion, and Egypt was conquered, and a new pharaoh was put in place. And he said unto his people, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land." Okay, this is kind of interesting. So this Pharaoh says, we got to get rid of these dudes. But what does God want? God wants them gone too. But at the time when God sends Moses, "Let my people go," Pharaoh says no, even though he's already stated he wants them out. But there again, they had to be released by the hand of God. God had to have Pharaoh to hold them tightly so that he could show his mighty power in releasing them. So you don't always get to do your own will in this game of thrones that God has going on. And we've seen that in deception and all sorts of other things that have taken place. God is in total control of good and evil, and you got to come to an understanding of that before you can realize everything in this book, because it says right there, Pharaoh wants them out because they are more than we are, numerous, they are numbered more than we are. If we should get into a battle with another nation, what if they join their side? We're done. So he says, we got to get them out. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. So he says, I want them out. And he comes up with a plan. Let's put them in severe slavery. Maybe they will just want to leave. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And if you remember from Genesis, they were invited in to be kindred with the Egyptians. And Joseph and Pharaoh put them in the choicest properties in Egypt, and they were very welcome. But at this point, no, they're not. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Siphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere, and the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mightily. So they basically told him, these aren't like Egyptian women, all frail and lying in the bed and bawling and crying, having a baby, and they're all totally exhausted. When they're done having the child, if we were to try to do that, we'd get our hineys whooped.
Yep.
Because these women are vibrant and full of life. And as we've seen in Genesis, Hebrew people are powerful. And it came to pass when the midwives feared God that he made them houses. So they were blessed in not following the law that Pharaoh had put out. So there answers the age-long question. If the law of the land is against the law of God, should I follow it? Absolutely not. Law of God trumps all. You know, there lies the question, should a soldier follow an unlawful order? Absolutely not. If it violates the morals God has placed in your soul, you do not follow it. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. So he's going to just put it on the people now, not on the midwives, the women that come and help you deliver. He's going to put it on the people. Okay, so if you have a male child, you are to, my commandment is you are to throw him in the river. Chapter 2, the book of Exodus, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7 Veterans for Freedom Radio. Glad you could join us. And there went a man out of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a godly child. And how do you see godliness in a child? Because this child didn't look normal. Mm-hmm. Just like we've seen in Noah, if you go to the book of Enoch, when the child came out, it scared his father. This looked like the Son of God.
Yeah.
So Moses was obviously a different kind of model. God had, like the XL model, you know?
Right.
As even as a newborn child, you could tell there's something about this child. He was a goodly child. She hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes. Kind of interesting.
Couldn't hide him
anymore. An ark, just like the ark that saved all of humanity in the last book. Now we have an ark to save the Savior of Israel. An ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime, just like Noah was told, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with pitch, I mean, I think she got the same plans that Noah got, but just on a smaller scale.
Yeah. From one baby.
Yeah. And put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river bank. So she laid it amongst the reeds by the river. And his sister stood far off to wit what would be done to him. So Moses is placed in this little ark, placed in the side of the river, and his sister, his older sister, is standing off watching. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. When she saw the ark among the flags, so, you know, it's often portrayed in movies how this thing was set in the river and it's just floating down the river. It's not. It's set in amongst the reeds, and it stays there because his mother knew where to put it. Mm-hmm. God had placed it in her heart where to place this ark, and she put it there. And Pharaoh's daughter came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. What is that over there? Yeah. Go get that for me.
Okay.
But it's in the mud. That's why I asked you to go get it.
Yeah.
And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and beheld the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse for the Hebrew women? Interesting how the sister hung around. They knew where Pharaoh's daughter came to wash. that she may nurse the child for thee. And Pharaoh's daughter says, go to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. How convenient. I just happen to know a woman that has breast milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go and get her. Yes, this child. Oh, God had placed compassion in Pharaoh's daughter's heart. You know, dad is really off his rocker. Yes. He's telling him to kill all these babies, and it's just insane. And no, I'm going to. And you know how teenagers are. They're going to rebel against their father no matter what. Mm-hmm. This has happened to be a good rebellion.
Right.
And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. Wow. So they basically placed Moses in a little ark for a few hours. Pharaoh's daughter comes, snatches him out, and now they're being paid to raise the child.
Their own child.
Amazing how if you follow God's plans, he will bless you. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. There we got an angry Moses, and it's interesting that they did not hide the fact that he was an Egyptian. I mean, that he was a Hebrew. Mm-hmm. He grew up in the palace of Pharaoh, but you know, and you say, how in the world was that done? But we discovered in the book of Genesis, men and women did not cohabitate even in the same, even if they were married or sons and daughters. The women folk stayed with the women folk. The men folk stayed with the men folk. The men folk went to the women folk when they needed something. So, even though it's Pharaoh's daughter, he might have seen her once a day or once a week. And had no clue, but she did not keep the fact that he was a Hebrew from Moses. Now he's gone out, he's seeing that his people are slaves. Suddenly a realization, apparently, and he killed the Egyptian overseer that was harassing these Egyptians, I mean these Hebrews. And when he went out at the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. So killing an Egyptian was a big deal and probably carried with it a death sentence. So you know, Moses goes out, talks to these guys who had seen what had happened, and he's probably expecting to be patted on the back, and they're very arrogant guys. Apparently they didn't care that he was fighting for them. They said, oh, who made you a prince over us? What, are you gonna kill us now just like you killed the other guy?
Right.
So it scares Moses now, and he says, surely this thing that I've done is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well, all orchestrated by God, because God had to extradite Moses from his habitation in Pharaoh's palace. He had to get him out of there, set him aside, and cultivate him into the creature that he wanted to bring the people out.
Stay tuned as we continue our journey through the scriptures on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We'll be right back with more insightful discussions and exploration